appreciate Brother Bob, and I also appreciate Brother Danny. What a blessing. And we're staying at their home, and we've enjoyed it tremendously. And just appreciate it. I'm amazed how big a glutton for punishment you folks are. Good night to see y'all here this early in the morning. You just sleep here. But it really is a privilege. And I said it to Jim. My heart was blessed by his message last night. We need all never forget what he spoke to us about our bodies. And only one life will soon be passed, and it's only what's done for Christ will last. And he is no fool who gives up what he can't keep to gain what he can't lose. And if God gives you that opportunity, God blesses you, use it for his glory. And I praise the Lord. We've known Jim also for so many years. And the buildings that he started in up there, where he saw ministry, many other people saw, what in the world is he doing here? And I had one pastor say, well, they've been there for this many years, and this is what they have. I said, in Chicago, he'd probably have 2,000 by this time. I really mean that. Because they're staunch unbelievers there, and yet God has built a work. This morning, I've been asked to speak to you on the subject of prayer. It's a read the story, Paul Harvey. Some of you who are a little older remember him. The rest of the story, he was telling a story. He gave a story about a little boy. We need to be like this little boy. He was went to the grocery store. He's 3 years old when his mother went to the store. And when they got in the store, his mom looked at him and said, "Now listen, you're not going to get any chocolate chip cookies, so do not ask. Don't ask for cookies." And so she put him in a cart, and he sat in a little child seat, you know, 3 years old. When she wheeled down the aisle, he was doing good till she had to go down the cookie aisle. And he leaned up and said, "Mom, can I have some chocolate chip cookies?" She said, "Son, I told you, don't even ask." Now, Paul Harvey's telling this all over the nation on the radio. "You're not going to get in at all." So he sat back down. They went down different other aisles, and then they came back by the cookie aisle again. He said, "Mom, please, just some chocolate chip cookies." She said, "I told you you can't have any." I said, "I'll be quiet." Well, he was, but then he noticed they're getting closer to the checkout aisle. And he knew it was his last chance. So before they got to the line, he stood up on his seat at 3 years old in his cart and shouted in his loudest voice, "In the name of Jesus, may I have some chocolate chip cookies?" Paul Harvey said everybody around him began to laugh. Some applauded. And due to the generosity of all the shoppers, he went home with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. That's a boy who knew how to pray. You know, prayer is a priority. Someone says priorities are something that takes precedence over another thing or things. Your being here this morning is a priority over sleep, which none of us got much of last night. And it's the blueprint for what you're going to do in your own life. Priorities are a blueprint what you do in all other things. Years ago, in the war between England and France, in 1815, Napoleon was battling a fellow named Wellington, who was the British commander. And the battlefield was out here. And yet over here is like a barn or whatever, which is on a hill. And here's the battlefield. And Napoleon was sending massive numbers of troops over here to this building over here. Wellington did the same thing. Well, but that's the battlefield. And Wellington won the battle. And you see, that was the high ground. They knew whoever had the high ground would win the battle. And the high ground for a Christian is prayer. And it is so important and yet so little used. And as a local church, this independent Bible preaching church, old time church, if you please, God's given a priority here. Isaiah 56:7 says, "Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. He went on to say, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all peoples. Didn't say a house of preaching. Isn't that amazing? House of prayer. So your individual home as well as your corporate home, and now you won't preach. You got great preaching and teaching. But God says, be careful. Be careful. Because if you depend upon the preaching for doing everything, you may lose a whole lot. Prayer says, God, you're in charge. Your pastor will be the first one to say, God better be in charge in this place. Danny, he'll say, this, God better be in charge. And how do we know he's in charge? It's if we're talking to him. How do I know if God's in charge in my home? Is it because I read my Bible every day? Well, I do that. I want to do that. But do I turn it all over to my Father, which art in heaven? You see, we come here and we, if we're not careful, we get up and we throw up a prayer that may not go very far. Prayer. It's going to be in the millennial kingdom. It's interesting. It's a priority because that Isaiah 56:7 deals with people going there in prayer. You read Revelation, prayer. Because prayer is recognition of who's in charge. It says, you're in charge, Lord. My house during the millennium, it's going to be talked about prayer. He calls us to that. Jeremiah 7:11 says, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? I've seen it, said the Lord. You see, that which was the house of prayer, and as we know, when Jesus walked into that same house, he said, my house shall be called a what? House of prayer. You made a den of thieves to those people who were buying and selling there. It's amazing, John 2:16, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise, because it's a house of prayer. It's a place where we come corporately and say, God, you're in charge. Now, you bring great teachers and give us an excellent preacher teacher here, or a prophetic kind of a guy, can share these things. Sort of weird at times he is, but good. Good guy, knows his thing. But we better make sure that we're not looking to Bob for answers. We're looking to the boss for answers. And I'm not being unkind with that. Because the moment somebody takes the place of God, we're all in trouble. We had a great pastor in Canton, Ohio, Harold Henniger. Most gracious man ever lived. But you know what? My house should be called the house of prayer. God still has to be in charge. And he wants that particular place. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, and if you'll turn there, 1 Timothy chapter 2 for just a moment. He said, listen, and again, let me say this. Prayer is not easy. I remember, I don't know if you ever went through this, Jim. I'd gotten saved in Houston, Texas, and I remember the first, they called them watch night services. And I remember going that thing there, and these people going to pray past midnight. I mean, after about 3 minutes, I was through praying. And it wasn't 11 o'clock yet. I'm in trouble. And I remember I'd be on my knee, and I'd look over there, some of these old preachers, they're over there, they're praying. I guess they're praying. I didn't know if they were sleeping or praying. But I'd look over there, man, how does he do this stuff? Prayer's not easy. Because prayer is humbling yourself. You see, with prayer, you don't do anything much except talk to him. But we want to do. We're doers instead of talking to him first. Bible says in First Timothy 2, I exhort therefore that, what's those next three words? First of all. Not last of all. First of all. He's talking to Timothy, who's going to become a leader in the church. He didn't say, Timothy, after you sing, after you preach, after you witness, pray. No. First of all. And I'll be very honest. In multitudes of Christian lives, it's sort of last of all. 80-90% of Christians, their prayers are Hail Marys. God, I'm in trouble. Help. Throw that Hail Mary pass up to heaven. Young people start praying when they see a girl that they'd like for her to like him, and they pray for God to touch her heart. Instead of praying for God to make their heart what it ought to be. Vice versa. Prayer. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority. I appreciate about Jim, I think you said every Sunday their church pray for the president, whether you like him or not. Because he's the official God's put over us there. Pray for them that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. I pray first, and then God's going to get some people saved. But we can mix that thing up, can't we? We can go up to Nebraska, or we can go in, and I used to work in a child evangelism thing, went all over the country. And if we weren't careful, it was so easy to get, you got to do this, and got to do this, and got to do that. And God sort of stands back and says, well, let me know when you need my help. And you go through, and you get married, and your kids come, and you get involved in this, you get involved in that. We get over here at the church, got to do this, got to do that, got to go over here, and got to do all these things here. And you get tired, and you wonder, what's wrong? Talk to the Father lately. Boy, you see, that's the communion that he wants more than anything in the world. The aroma of God's house ought to be the aroma of prayer. Incidentally, that food last night was great, whoever made all those things there. I was talking to some, standing there talking to people. I kept eating that barbecue. It kept talking to me at 3 o'clock this morning. No. But you know, the aroma here needs to be the aroma that God's in charge. We're going to talk to him. We're going to seek his face. It's a priority. People sometimes need weeks to fit the church into their life and their schedule. But boy, if they got something going on they want to go to, they can do that the next moment. It takes time to get prayer into their life. But boy, if this is a fun thing, they'll get doing it there. Prayer. Prayer. Preaching's great. Need it. But God says, who's in charge? Because if you're not careful, you'll put such weight on the back of your pastor and the leadership in this church that they can't handle it. But if you're a people of prayer, they'll be able to handle everything. But if you're not a people of prayer, you'll be depending upon people instead of the God who enables those people. Same thing in your home. How's your prayer life? The music of heaven is prayer. You think of what we call the Lord's Prayer. And I know they do that before all the football games. And I'm always wondering if God gets confused because the guy on this team scores and he points up to heaven. They go down and they score to the other place there. They point up to heaven. Which side is God on? I don't know. I'm not going to comment, Jimmy, because I know. All right. I was saying, he said last night he'll preach all day. I thought, go ahead, I'm leaving at noon. It's amazing in Acts chapter 4 under the persecution. Boy. You know, the local church was... It was not born while preaching, it was born while praying. Isn't that amazing? The upper room, they're praying. Acts chapter 4, and Acts chapter 1:14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brethren. Then Acts chapter 4, verse 18, they went back to a prayer meeting. They had been thrown in jail and everything else. Being let go, they went to their own company, reported all that the chief priest, Acts 4:23, and the elders said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and preached. No, they prayed. God, you art God, which made heaven and earth. See, they're acknowledging what the chain of command was. You're first. You're first before my wife. You're first before my kids. You're first before the preacher. You know, when God gets first place, we can put everything else in right order, the right way. Doesn't mean you don't take care of these other things. What it means is the fact that I serve Him. And if I'm going to serve Him right, I'll take care of her right. I'll take care of my kids right. And I'll do what I need to do right in church. But if I get mixed up and I forget to put Him first, it's amazing how it will, pardon the language, screw up everything else I'm trying to be used in. Amen. Lord, my land, You have been good to us. When they lifted up their voice to God, when a card said, You're God. You made heaven, You made earth. They see it all in the midst. Who by the mouth of thy servant David said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? It was amazing. They came out of being persecuted and started praising because they realized God's in charge. Do you? Do I? Their instinct was prayer. When persecuted, prayer. God's house is the house of prayer. Some great effects when you do that. Acts 6, verse 4, they said, we're going to give ourselves continue to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Eternal results. It's amazing what prayer results. The effect of prayer is to be able to maybe witness in Nebraska. The effect of prayer is to witness in Kansas City. One of the results of prayer is to be able to minister in the schools that you go to. And you young men and young ladies going to school, high school, junior high, wherever you go, that's your mission field. You don't have to go to Africa. God's got it all around you. Now, you have to determine, do I want to be popular with God or with them? And now, if you want to be popular with God first, the neat thing is, you can still be popular with others in the right way. Now, you don't go throwing Bibles at them and things like that. But you get up in the morning, God, use me some way to minister to someone in this school. And you get up, instead of saying, good Lord morning, you say, good morning, Lord. How can I be used to that? You may be amazed what God will do. We had a chance coming in. There's a young lady, a sharp-looking little girl in front of us, college graduate. She had a cage with her, her pet rabbit. I'd never seen anybody bring a rabbit on a trip. Sweet girl, wasn't she? Just a sweet, born-again believer, though. Invited her to church here also. Just a nice young lady. But you never know who God will give you a chance to witness to. I had a chance to witness to Meadowlark Lemon. Some of you who are older know who he was. Man, the Globetrotter leader. That's amazing. God gives you lots of opportunities there to witness to people there. But better do prayer first. Do prayer first. I enjoy golfing, but I always pray, Lord, give me someone to talk to. I go out, and I was one time golfing with a guy, and he was rebuild homes and so on. Cocky as could be. He said, what do you do? I said, well, I work for a father-son business. And I got this from Chuck Swindoll years ago, and I've adopted. He said, oh, I said, yeah. I said, man, we got a great spirit in this thing. And, oh, okay. I said, and we actually, what we do, I work with them. We supply retirement homes. And I said, it's amazing. The benefactor has set aside such funds. These places are absolute mansions. Amen?
Amen?
And I went on and I said, and the retirement, man, it's out of this world. This guy's counting. I'm serious. I still remember, you know, he had cocky. He listened now. And I said, and the amazing thing is those who sign up for it, they don't pay a dime.
Amen.
And I said, it's unbelievable. Health benefits. And I said, 24-hour security. It's amazing what you can do, man. And I mean, he didn't even want to talk about his business anymore. I'd blown by him so far. And when we got through, I said, hey, I carried the contract with me. You want to see it? Would you like to have a copy? Oh, man, yeah. So I handed him a gospel tract. Oh. I heard about the little boy one time. I can remember this correctly. This cocky guy, this kid's reading his Bible on a plane also. And some wisecracker sat beside him and said, hey, son. He said, I'll give you an apple if you can right now show me something God can do. The boy looked over at him and said, I'll give you a crate of apples if you can show me something God can't do. Prayer, man. Seeking God for... It's basically the wisdom God will give you if you pray. I only knew a couple of guys in high school who knew the Lord. And after I got saved, I respected them. But they stood for truth. You see, God wants us to do it. We'll give ourselves continued to prayer and the ministry of the Word. If you do the ministry of the Word without prayer, it is... You prayer groups, listen, if you don't do it, it's amazing what will not take place. Proverbs Philippians 1:19, Paul said, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I want to read you an illustration. I think I brought it this morning here. Yeah, it's a true story. This isn't preaching. This is a true story. Some of you grab that in a minute. This missionary was on furlough, and he told this while visiting his church home. He said, I was serving in a small field hospital in Africa. Every 2 weeks, I traveled by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies. This was a journey of 2 days, required camping overnight at the halfway point. On one of these journeys, I arrived in the city where I planned to collect money from a bank, purchase medicine and supplies, and then begin my 2 day journey back to the field hospital. Upon arriving, I observed two men fighting, one of whom had been seriously injured. I treated him for his injuries and at the same time witnessed to him about the Lord. I then traveled the 2 days, camping overnight, and arrived home without incident. 2 weeks later, I repeated my journey, and upon arriving in the city, I was approached by the young man that I had previously treated. He looked at me and said, you know, I knew you were carrying money and medicines. Then he said, some friends and I followed you into the jungle, knowing you'd have to camp overnight. We planned to kill you, take your money and drugs, but just as we were about to move into your camp, we saw you were surrounded by 26 armed guards. He said, I laughed and said, you know, man, I was alone. The young man pressed the point. He said, no, my friends, we also saw them, and we all counted them. It's because those guys, we left. We're afraid. We left you alone. At this point, as this missionary is preaching, one of the men in the congregation of his home church in the United States, not Africa, he stood up. He said, preacher, wait a minute. When was that happened? He told him the date. He said, wait a minute, sir. He said, on the night of your incident in Africa, it was morning here. I was getting ready to play golf. I was literally about to putt when I felt the urge to pray for you. I've had an urge to pray when I putted lots of times. But anyway, he said, I was about to putt. In fact, the urging was so strong, I left the golf place, called some men in my church, said, meet me here. We need to pray. This member of the church, he looked around the congregation and said, would all of you men who met me to pray stand up? They began to stand up. They all stood up. The missionary began counting. He counted 26 men. That native said you had 26 soldiers standing around you in that clearing. You don't think your prayers mean something? 26 men protected him. You see, when you pray here, you never know what God's going to do there. But if you don't pray here, you'll never know what God's going to do there. I think of that situation, and I think of when our son went through what he went through. You imagine... Somebody walks in, sticks a gun right there, and says, don't you move. That's what they did to my son. Now, my flesh wanted to go there and not be very Christian to people. I mean that. Because they could have just as easily killed him as left him. I believe that it was the prayers of people who were seeking the face of God. The unity in the church in Jerusalem was born in a prayer meeting. They all continue with prayer and supplication. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. Their instinct was prayer. My house will be called a house of prayer. And this church here, and it's great what you have. But I don't think you even know the beginning of what God may want to do through what y'all have here. But I believe this group, and you are the unbelievable prayer people. Young people, what God will do in and through your life. And sometimes we don't see it now, we will see it later. But it comes through prayer. It's leadership enabling when you pray. They said, we'll give ourselves continually to prayer in the ministry of the Word. All Sunday school teachers, you need to be praying for them. The hand of God will be all over. And prayer is not easy because it's one of those things that we don't necessarily see the results right now, but God said to do it, and Lord, I believe you for it. Critical needs? Prayer answers that. Philippians 1:19, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He was in jail. But he said, you pray. Philippians 1:19, I can get freed. Hearts can be encouraged. 2 Corinthians 1:11, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many people's thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Your prayer can encourage somebody else somewhere else. And it doesn't matter if others aren't praying. You be that prayer warrior. Learn to develop that. Witnessing power? Wow. Paul said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. And for me, he said, pray that the utterance may be given me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You need to pray for Danny when he speaks or sings and anybody else, and pray for Pastor Bob when he preaches. Don't come to us to be fascinated by what we're learning. Oh God, this can, if I'm not careful, this can fly way over my head. God, give my preacher power that what he says can penetrate my heart. And penetrate the heart of those around us, that we not look at him, but we look at him. Because he's the source. And these men are just the mouthpieces for God. Use them as tools that you get glorified, Lord Jesus. I remember someone who had heard one of the great preachers of England. And they had great men there when Spurgeon was in the area. And this is in the 1800s. I mean, they'd have thousands in these churches. Some men were heard to have come out of one of the great preachers that was in England. Man, wow, what a message! Then they went to Spurgeon's church. Spurgeon said, I want to show you a power plant. Some of these guys, okay. And they were looking for a boiler room. He took them downstairs to where several hundred men were praying. Here's our power plant. They said people who had walked out of the one church and said, wow, what a message. They walked out of Spurgeon's church after the service, said, oh, what a Savior. You see, there's a difference. It's a difference. You ought to leave here every Sunday. Hey, great message. But what a Savior. Amen. Because you want to point people to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You want the defining thing of this church to be, we serve a risen, awesome Savior, and we want people to know about Him. Because Bob will make mistakes. Danny will make mistakes. Their wives don't, but they do. We all make those mistakes. But Jesus never made a mistake. And if we fall in love with Him and help people to see Him, we can look beyond the mistakes that preachers and teachers and everybody else makes. But what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him or her. I won't sing. Jim will tell you why, probably. When thou prayest, it's a privilege. Not if you pray, when. They say, Wesley's mother, she had a passel of kids. When she would take her apron and put it over her head, that was her prayer closet. Her kids, shut up and don't bother me. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Sometimes your prayer closet may just be sitting at a piano stool over here. And great piano. Pray for them, man. Amen. I can't even play chopsticks. I love it. She gets in and does all that. The music, great. Pray for them. But pray to your Father in secret. Jim and I know in New England, we see these sometimes these fat, pompous individuals walking around with the collars and all that stuff. And it's, you know, they get their glory. Our glory is not who we are. Our glory is in talking to Him. And young people, I want to challenge you. Listen, take time to talk to your Father. Your Father who sees in secret shall reward thee openly. The elders in Revelation 5:8, they took the book, the four beasts, 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. God takes and knows your prayers there. I read this some years ago, and I've saved it for a long time. By the Great Commission Prayer League, it says, no Christian is greater than his prayer life. The church may have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many who pay, but few who pray. Many resters, but few wrestlers. Many who are enterprising, but few who are interceding. People who are not praying are playing. I won't mention his name. Many of you may wouldn't know him. I know Jim would. A man who was a great preacher in the Baptist Bible Fellowship, a great leader. I remember one time years ago when I was in New England, he was preaching at a fellowship meeting. He said, you know, I don't have time to pray. My men pray for me. And that's exactly the thought I had, Jim. I thought, oh, man. And you know what? His messages at that time were sort of sterile and cold. God took him through a valley, and then I heard him again later on. He was a praying preacher who had time to talk to God, and the power of God was on him. You see, the ministry of preaching is open to a few, but the ministry of praying is open to every child of God. Don't mistake action for unction, commotion for creation, and rattles for revival. The secret of praying is praying in secret. A worldly Christian will stop praying, and a praying Christian will stop worldliness. Pretty true. When we pray, God listens to our heartbeat. Hannah's lips moved, but her voice was not heard. When we pray in the Spirit, there are groanings which can't be uttered. Tithes may build a church, but tears will give it life. There's a difference between the modern church and the early church. Our emphasis today in this world we live in today is paying. Theirs was praying. When we've paid, the place is taken. When they prayed, the place was shaken. There's a world of difference in there. This is an unusual church. You hear people say it all the time. But don't take it for granted. God can take his hand off this church just in a moment's time. What will keep his hand on this work? Men and women and young people who believe that we need to pray that God will keep our hearts clean and close to him. In the matter of effective praying, never have so many left so much to so few. Brethren, let us pray. One man said, 7 days without prayer make 1 week. W-E-A-K. And we don't prevail because we don't travail. I think of this reality, and I'm going to close with an illustration out of the book of Acts chapter 10. But they said that only two of the seven churches of Revelation, Pergamum and Thyatira, were scolded for false doctrine. Most of them had lost their spiritual vitality. Isn't that amazing? Ephesus, wow. I read the book of Ephesians, my head busts. The heavenlies. Wow. But they lost their spiritual vitality. What's a picture of a dying church? I've heard lots of illustrations, but if I had one, it would be of a church that you see a picture of it, huge congregation. Man, places full. Money coming in all over the place. So I said, well, that's a picture of a dying church. Keep looking. And you look around and wow, they got all these teenagers, got all these people here, got all these people here. But then over here, there's a door. And it says prayer room. And you, well, once we get a little close, and you look close, you know what? Across the top, there's a spider web over the door, covering the door. Because that thing that makes it something special is the prayer of God's people. And that can happen here. I've watched it happen in lots of churches. They had all the tools, and they were doing it. And God sort of, I think, was sitting back, let me know when you're tired. We need to study. We need to preach. We need to sing praises. But I tell you, that will not suffice for a biblical church. My house shall be called the house of. It's as we do that. Everybody hold your hand up like this. I always try to teach people. Teachers have done this a long time here. When you pray, pray for those closest to you. When you pray, pray for those who are giving the word of God out. That's the second one. You move your fingers. And then for those in authority over you, in the middle, you know, leadership. Then you, I don't know why we got this finger. It's there for some reason. Those really weak people. You know, you can't do a whole lot with that finger. And then the smallest one, then you pray for yourself. So first of all, we pray for who? Closer to. Then who do we pray for? Those giving the word of God out. Then who do we pray for? Leadership and authority. Then who do we pray for? Weak and then who do we pray for? Ourselves. So when you do that, you know, it's a good way to think about prayer. In Acts chapter 10, there's a man who would not be called a believer in our time. He was one who sought after God. He was an Old Testament believer, if you please. And an interesting thing took place in his life. He sought God. If you look there, his name was Cornelius. He was a soldier. He was a special forces guy, Brother Bob, of the Italian band. Now, that would mean he was playing the ukulele. That meant he was the Italian soldier there. And he'd be in charge of at least 100-something individuals. He was, Bible says, verse 2, devout man, feared God with all of his house, gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. Like a, he was like an Old Testament believer. Now, Acts is that transitional place. And he needed something more, though. He saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him, saying unto him, Cornelius, he looked on him in verse 4, what is it, Lord? And he heard these words, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Wow. Now, send men to Joppa. It's about 40 miles away. Call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's there with a guy, another guy named Simon, who's a tanner. And he'll tell you what you ought to do. Wow. Verse 7, the angel's gone up. Cornelius calls his house servants and the loyal guards, sends them out. And on the morrow, verse 9, as they went on their journey, getting near to the city, Peter goes up on top of the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, about noontime. Amazing what happens when you pray. So he's praying and he's hungry. He's a Baptist probably. He fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a vessel descending to him and had a great sheet knit at the four corners. All manner of four-footed beasts, wild ones and creeping things and fowls of the air. Voice said, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter made this contradictory statement, not so, Lord. How you call him Lord and say no? See, Leviticus 11, there's things you don't eat. You're a card-carrying Jew. I don't eat that stuff, God. He said, listen, I've never eaten anything unclean. Now, he said a lot of unclean things, but I've never eaten anything unclean or uncommon. Uncommon. The voice said again, eat it. Well, God's cleansed, don't call that common. Three times. Aren't you glad you listened to God the first time? Peter, down it came again. No, down it came again. Peter's wondering, what in the world? He doubted what's going on. And then he hears some rumbling downstairs in verse 17. They said, these guys were there. Where's some guy named Simon Peter? And so the Spirit of God, verse 19, said to Peter, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down and go with them. Don't doubt anything, for I've sent him." Now remember, Peter's a Jew. Jews, there are three things they didn't want to be near in this sense, the old Pharisee: the women, a dog, and a Gentile. Now, Peter, I want you to go with these Gentiles. Good night. What are my friends going to think? What do my relatives think if I go to that Bible preaching church over there? All right. And so he does, and if you know the story, he gets there and he comes into the house. And verse 24, Cornelius, that's after a couple of days, he's there, calls his kinsmen and his near. He brought all his relatives. I love this. Cornelius believed more in the things of God at that moment than Simon Peter was. He got all his relatives together because he believed God's going to speak to my heart through this man because I've prayed and asked God to do something. God's answering the prayer. He got them together there. And when he came in, Cornelius bowed down to Peter, wanted to worship him. Peter was right. He said, "Listen, I'm a man and you stand up. You only bow before Jesus." So he talked to him, as you know. Peter said in verse 28, "I've learned that," verse 28, "God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." You read the rest of the story. Cornelius comes to faith. Peter goes his way. But he knows in the back of his mind there's going to be a problem in Jerusalem. They learned about it, and the Bible says when he got to Jerusalem, in verse 2 of chapter 11, the believing Jews who were of the circumcision, they contended with him. What the blank do you think you're doing going there? And he shared how that God had opened the door of the Gentiles to him. Because of prayer, Peter risked his whole future. Some of you, because you've been prayer sought the face of God, you are risking a lot of things in the future to do what you believe God wants you to do. But prayer causes that. Prayer changes your destination. Prayer changes your priorities. Prayer changes what happens in other people's lives because you listen to him. Peter was praying. Cornelius was praying. God did a work. Paul said, "Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints," Ephesians 6:18 and following. Wow. "And for me," he said, "that I may... utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth as I ought to." You are prayer groups. As you pray for the health of this person, that person, all these things, God's going to do something. You know, the interesting thing to me is to keep in mind that the power of one prayer. What do you mean? Cornelius, Jew, he wasn't a Jew. How many of you here are Jews? No Jews? You see, every one of you are a result of Cornelius' prayer. That's the power of one prayer. One man from Italy prayed and sought the face of God, and God opened up so you could get saved, and you could get saved, and you could get saved, and everybody in here gets saved because of Cornelius. Isn't that amazing, the power of one man's prayer? Because he prayed, God opened that door to the Gentiles, and we get in. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. I want to encourage you, listen. He's listening. The prayer of the upright is his delight. And there are a lot of things I enjoy. But I've learned, I'm trying to learn all the time. I'm talking to Jim. 73 now. And I realize there's only some things that are going to really count in heaven. Only what's done for Christ will last. And it really does start with prayer. And then being in the Word. Not worshiping the Word. Worshiping the God of the Word. Not worshiping the book. worshiping the God of the book. There's a difference. This is my tool, but He's my trust. And when I do that, you'll be amazed. God will use you to reach someone's life that perhaps you could never imagine about. In heaven, can you imagine what's going to happen when you meet Cornelius and you say, Cornelius, man, thanks for praying that prayer. I got in because... Now, Jesus wanted it to happen. Obviously, we know that. But the power of one man's prayer, 2,000 years ago, you're saved. You're saved. You're saved. I'm saved. And God worked through that man's prayer.